It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks, and welcome back to Health Talk. My name is Haley Fields, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Dr. Scott Looper. Dr. Looper is a naturopathic doctor and our former host of Health Talk.
I lost my job.
He got replaced. So today we're continuing our Living Well series. Last time we chatted, we were on depression, and I don't think we finished up.
No, we didn't. We talked about depression. Let's for people who didn't get the last show, let me do a quick sum up. Their feelings are there to help us. They bring us important information. They take that information and they wrap it up with a flag and fly it in our face. So if the information that something is missing is there, it comes out as sadness. You miss the thing that's not there. If something's wrong, it comes out as anger. If something is threatening you, it comes out as fear. So these feelings are helpful and appropriate. It's the reason why we have them. They actually help us. They help us survive. They help us live better lives. Yeah, except for they suck. They're horrible. They're overwhelming. They're too much. They wreck our lives. We can't function because the feelings are too much. And so often the reason why the feelings are too much isn't because the situation is bad. It is, admittedly. But it's also, what makes it really bad is when our chemistry's all screwed up. If our chemistry's screwed up, then we lose our control. I mean, what feelings should come and go. Come and go. You know, tincture of time. Time helps us. Time heals all wounds. Except for it doesn't. It doesn't. Really, it doesn't. If your chemistry's all screwed up, time just makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So last time we talked about serotonin, ways to get serotonin levels up. We talked about catecholamines and ways to get catecholamines up. Serotonin, the main thing is to take tryptophan or 5-hydroxytryptophan and exercise and take B vitamins because you need that for the conversion. And also helps in the creation of melatonin because serotonin converts into melatonin. Your mood can really pick up. And it only takes like 45 minutes to see what the effect of this is going to be by taking these things. The catecholamines is a thing. There's another amino acid called tyrosine. And you can take tyrosine and same thing, B vitamins. In fact, that's one of the pathways for the creation of serotonin and the catecholamines is identical. They literally use the same pathway. And this all happens inside your brain for the feeling part. Now, it turns out serotonin, I didn't say that in the last show, is a serotonin, 90% of serotonin isn't in your brain. It's in your body. Most of it's coming from your digestive system. Your body needs serotonin in order for your digestive system to work properly. Catecholamines are there to keep you alert and you know, problem solving, and they give us a little spark to life. But it's not the whole story. There turns out to be a bunch of other things that are important in mood, particularly in sadness. We're talking about sadness. Now, sadness is some of this is just plain sadness. The serotonin just comes up as sadness. But the catecholamines come up more as the blahs. Like, nothing gets me going. I feel like blah. Dr. Looper, I just feel blah. Like I don't know, I don't care.
Apathetic,
yeah. Ennui is another name for this. So the catecholamines fit more in that one. Yet there's another one still, and you know about this one too. We normally doesn't get as much conversation about this, but I want to be thorough on this show. So let's bring up the next one, which are endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
So endorphins help us feel satisfied, like peaceful. And when they're not there, what we are is sensitive.
Hmm.
We're easily knocked off the balance and actually more susceptible to pain.
Wow.
So the endorphins we know about this. Endorphins are released when you exercise. It's kind of a way to protect us from extremes. It's a way to make it to where we don't feel the intensity of the physicality of it. Because if you went out and exercised as hard as you could, I mean, what you're doing is you're, in microscopic ways, tearing your body apart.
Right.
And what you do is you heal back on that microscopic level.
creating that resiliency.
Faster, stronger, more resilient. Yeah, all those kinds of things. But that would like be crushingly painful, except for you get this high from exercise. You don't feel crushing. You don't feel crushed most of the time.
Not until day three. Day two, day three after leg day.
Yeah, that does happen. Mm-hmm. It does. It does.
After but the endorphins wear off.
They wear off, right? There's that. So the endorphins, like all everything else here, we can manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
We can get them to go up. Mm. Now, exercise is one way to do it, but if exercise is just the trigger, the building block is phenylalanine.
Hmm.
Phenylalanine, again, it's an amino acid. Phenylalanine has a right version and a left version, a right-handed molecule. I don't know if you knew this. Mm-hmm. And a left-handed molecule. Most all these amino acids do.
Mm-hmm.
They have the left version and the right version. In this case, it's interesting because the left version makes your mood go up, and it stimulates you. The right-handed version makes your mood go down.
Huh.
It makes you more peaceful. So it's tricky.
So it gives you that satisfaction, but then it also gives you...
No, it just you're trying to think too much in it. It just cranks you up so you can't sleep.
Okay.
Right? Or it makes you dopey where you can't hardly function. So you get this relaxed feeling like you just had... I don't want to exaggerate. Actually, I am going to exaggerate. Like you just had a shot of heroin, right? And you feel very peaceful and very relaxed, right? Except for not that much, right? Now, the reason why I mentioned heroin is because heroin mimics the endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
Just like caffeine mimics the catecholamines. You drink caffeine and suddenly, woo, I'm sharp, right? I'm feeling good, just like catecholamines would do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in nature, these plants are making all this stuff just due to mostly to random chance. This plant over here, called the poppy, makes this stuff that interacts with our bodies in the same ways that the endorphins do. So we do morphine, opium, heroin, OxyContin. They're all flavors of the same thing, right? And they stimulate our body in this way where we feel less pain.
Okay.
And if we are the kind of people that have low endorphins to begin with, oh, Billy O's is fabulous. It's the best feeling ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not naturally low on endorphins, it's like, what's the big deal? Why is everybody all jazzed up about whatever this thing is? Because they don't really need it. They're making their own endorphins. They're feeling it. They're not necessarily being overwhelmed by pain on the inside. Now, if you get enough pain and you really crank up the narcotics, you can knock that down, but you also suffer the effects of it. You become super dopey. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't even talk about the addiction. I'm just talking about the feeling of it as it goes through your system. Anyways, let's dial the show back in a super simple way. If you are one of those people that feel things more than others, that you feel the pain of life physically and mentally, it's very likely that you are short of endorphins.
Mm.
You're just, for whatever reason, one of those people that just don't have enough. Well, one of those reasons is you may not have enough phenylalanine in your system. In the same way that people who are short of serotonin don't have enough tryptophan in their system. Not enough tryptophan to make adequate amounts of serotonin. So those people are more sad, they're more moody, they're more just, they're really bummed out about life. People don't have enough tyrosine. They don't make enough catecholamines, and they just feel blah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a thing here. You can actually take the stuff that allows your body to make it. Now, there's also a trick to it. Each and every one of these is always the same trick. You got to jiggle it. You can put the word jiggle. You can put you put the materials in you, but there needs to be a trigger.
Sure.
There needs to be something that draws it. So you could take stuff that would convert into testosterone, for example. You can do DHEA, and you can just have cholesterol in your system. And these things will eventually turn into testosterone, but they won't turn into testosterone unless there's a draw. There's a call. There has to be, your body has to say, send us more testosterone or more endorphins or more serotonin or more wherever. And how that happens is there needs to be a need for it. And that need comes from exercise, which each and every one of these. Everything I mentioned, the draw is the same on each and every one of them. You can't get your testosterone levels up high enough unless your body says, I need them. And
right.
It's the exercise that brings it. Now, all exercise will do it. With testosterone, it's weight-bearing exercise is particularly important. With the serotonin, it tends to be aerobic exercise. For most of these, aerobic is kind of the key one. It really gets them going.
Mm.
And with the endorphins, intense exercise tends to bring it up again more. If you destroy your body slightly. Now, if you're going on a brisk walk around the neighborhood, man, not so much. Whereas you're, you know, you're going to start doing those, what are they called, burpees.
Mm-hmm.
You jump on the ground, you jump in the air, you jump out, you know, and you do this thing. Yeah, and the burpees are just like, will kill you. Woo, boy, the endorphins come up quick.
Mm-hmm. You get things moving around quick that way.
So the phenylalanine helps with that. Now, I mentioned that the L makes your mood go up and the D makes it go down. So the recommended thing is to take them both. Take them equal. You take what's known as DL phenylalanine, and that's the way to do it. Now, unless you happen to be someone who's prone to having things go down and being depressed and slow, then what you do is you focus on the L. And likewise, if you're someone who has a hard time falling asleep at night naturally, then you want to focus on the D for down.
Hmm.
And the L for lift?
There you go. That can apply.
I made that up just right now, right at this minute. Now, there's a bunch more other stuff you can do to help with your mood as well. Let me mention some of these other things. I probably should have mentioned them in the other show, but you just can't cram everything in. So these are kind of a kid caboodle bunch of stuff to take. One of them is SAMe, S-adenosylmethionine. Well, S-adenosyl. L-methionine. Remember, because there's an L and a D?
Yeah.
The L version. I don't always need to say L every time. But anyways, just call it SAMe. That one will help with mood as well. Turns out methionine is important in our metabolism, and the S-adenosylmethionine helps move that whole process along. And the experience of that is your mood goes up. Now, how common is this? Not. How many people are helped with this? About 20%. So 80%, I like working when there were 66% of the people are better. That's what the serotonin level was. This one's 20% of the people are better. So 80% of people take SAMe, they don't get anything from it. It doesn't do anything, doesn't help them. It just doesn't go anywhere. So mostly what I do with SAMe is I'll use it when they don't get better from the other stuff. The 5-hydroxytryptophan, B vitamins, phenylalanine, the catecholamine stuff, right, or tyrosine, those kind of things. We do all that stuff first, depending on what the mood is and so on and so forth. I have to be careful because I'm on the edge of going into shop talk and start laying it down. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I want to keep it simple. Simple, simple, simple is better. Okay, SAMe, next. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about St. John's wort. Now, St. John's wort's famous. It's something that's the most famous herb for helping with your mood. And you think, well, we should probably start with that one because we love herbs. Yeah. Don't get too excited about it because here's what St. John's wort does. The same thing that Prozac does.
Oh.
It's a natural selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Uh-huh. It does the same thing. Mm-hmm. No, of course it works. You do an SSRI. You're trapping more serotonin in your brain. So even though you're not necessarily making any more, it feels like you have more because it's in the spot in your brain where you need it the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so your mood goes up. But it's got all the same problems that the SSRIs have, which is it takes 2 weeks for it to work. And if you take too much, you run the risk of having serotonin syndrome. Now, we talked about that on the last show.
You're right.
Serotonin's weird because if serotonin levels are low, then your mood is low and your energy is low and you're in the blahs and you just don't care and you're just basically depressed. And if you get it up, you feel better. And you get it up more than that, and then you plummet into the worst depression you've ever had in your entire life. So they discovered this with Prozac back in the 90s when they were giving it to people, and the doctors were really excited because finally they had something they could do to help with depression, a pill, right? Because they love pills, so they want to do this pill thing. And yet teenagers started committing suicide who were on the Prozac, and they couldn't figure out why. What's the deal with teenagers? Why are they different? And the answer was they were more susceptible to serotonin syndrome. Their serotonin levels had increased too much, and they had crossed a threshold where instead of your mood going up, it plummets, and that was the problem. So it is a real thing. It is actually tricky, and it's a life wrecker. So it's really important that you manage the dose correctly. And so now we're into tricky land. We're in a drug land, but using an herb.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned on the previous show that I've never seen anybody go bad doing 5-HTP. I've never seen serotonin syndrome. I've never seen anybody have a reaction to it. I've literally never seen it. Maybe somebody somewhere, but I've never seen it. St. John's wort is not like that. St. John's wort's much easier to get them to be taken too much. And so that you do have to be careful with that. And you cannot combine St. John's wort with SSRIs without running the risk of serotonin syndrome, because it acts like you just increased the dose of Wellbutrin or whatever you're taking. Okay? So it's trickier that
way. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to know how these things work, and it's nice to have options, and there's different ways to kind of mix and match, and it's one of those things that you could take. Let's talk about other stuff that affects mood that doesn't have anything to do with brain chemistry, and some basic ones. Your thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
If your thyroid runs low, what you'll be is tired and slow and blah and not caring. You look like you have depression. Now, you don't necessarily feel that way, but the quality of your life is consistent with you being depressed. So, and what's going on there? Well, because your thyroid sets your metabolic rate. Your metabolic rate's too low.
Mm.
That's what the problem is. So what you need to do is run a test to see if your thyroid is in fact low. If it is low, then what you need to do is fix it. Now, most of the time, the easy fix is you just take thyroid medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You take T4, levothyroxine is the thing you take. Let's talk a teeny bit about this one, because I think it's interesting, and certainly it's a common problem a lot of people have, to try to get it to dial in just right. The thing about thyroid is the actual active hormone is not T4. It's not levothyroxine. What it is T3. It's triiodothyroxine or thyrine. Triiodothyronine is what it is. And it's the thing about T3 is it doesn't last in our body very long. You could take it. They sell it. There's a prescription medicine called Cytomel that's made of T3. But in order to mimic nature, you'd have to take your thyroid medicine 6 times a day.
Oh, man.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah, no.
Right? So it's way easier to take in the T4 because the T4 converts into T3. And so you're fine. You take it once a day, and your body, as it needs it, takes the T4 and makes it into T3. It's great. It's excellent. It works beautifully, except for when it doesn't work, because not everybody does the conversion from T4 to T3 very well.
Hmm.
And those people, let's go back to the people with low thyroid. They have a look. Hmm. They look a little puffy in the face. Their face looks a little tired, their eyes are a little droopy, and they lose the hair on the outer part of their eyebrow.
Oh.
So the eyebrows are in the center,
mm-hmm.
and then they fade to nothing, to the outer edge. Their skin also tends to be a little, I don't know, dry, ashen, and their hair tends to be a little kind of straw-ish. You know, you use enough conditioner and makeup, then that kind of goes away. So that can be hidden.
Right.
But there's a certain look that people have when their thyroid is low. Most of the time they're overweight, but not always. Mm-hmm. Not always. So in order to get the thyroid up, somehow or other you got to get that thyroid stimulated. We could talk about how to treat thyroid without taking thyroid medication on another show, but let's just keep it simple. The easiest, simplest thing to do is take the thyroid medication. See if it works. And if it works, great, you're good. Now, the problem is a lot of times if people have a conversion of T4 into T3, they don't actually do the conversion. The first shot of T4 does work, and then their body goes into resistance to it, and then it doesn't work well anymore. And what the doctor will do is they say, well, that first one worked pretty good, but your numbers aren't quite right, and you're getting back to being tired, and you're constipated, and you're looking, you know, like kind of blahs again. Why don't we try more? We'll just increase the dose. And again, it works for about 2 weeks. And then it goes down again. And then the next time you increase the dose, it doesn't do anything. It just makes you feel bad. It literally doesn't work. And people are like, well, I don't know. Your blood tests look fine. So I guess this is just you. Get used to it. Meh, I hate that.
Yeah.
What's really going on here is they have a conversion problem from T4 to T3. What they need to be doing is taking T3. And they take 3 and it changes. They feel better. Now, there's a natural version of thyroid. You take what's known as Armour Thyroid. There's a bunch of other companies that make the same kind of thing. It's basically ground up thyroid gland. Westroid does it, Naturethroid does it, a bunch of other people do the same thing. And those ones have a little bit of T4 and they have a little bit of T3 mixed, and they tend to work better. Because at least in people who don't do the conversion, because they can take that little bit of T3 and it kind of primes the pump, and then they'll feel better while taking it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I'm getting a little too technical here about all the thyroid stuff, but the bottom line here is that thyroid, if it's low, it will mimic depression.
Mm-hmm.
It'll look like depression, but it's not exactly depression, but it's close enough that it's one of those things we need to think about when we're treating depression.
Right.
Yeah, and the other one is in more common sense, which is insomnia.
Yep.
If you miss sleep, I mean, you start that same kind of dopey look.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyways, that happens sometimes too. And what you need, that usually is common sense. So yeah, you ask people questions like, the short list is, and how are you sleeping?
Right.
Yeah, poorly.
That's where you start most of the time.
Okay, I want to get to the basics on people. Now, there's some other stuff I want to bring up as well. One of those things is GABA. It's gamma-aminobutyric acid. And GABA acts as an inhibitory neurotransmitter. Now, every other neurotransmitter we've talked about always stimulates something, triggers some sort of reaction, some sort of your brain's reacting to things. And we're looking for this thing where you brighten up and your eyes get twinkly and you engage, right? We're looking for that. That's the opposite of depression. Now, GABA is interesting because what it is, it's an inhibitory neurotransmitter. It'll actually shut all this stuff down. So you think like, whoa, why do we want that? Well, there are the times when your brain is like maxed,
mm-hmm.
and you got to put the brakes on, because otherwise it's just going to fly off the tracks and you're just going to go crazy. There's a name for that. It's called mania.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go from being depressed and then flip and go manic.
Right.
And then you're manic for a while until you miss so much sleep and you fall apart. And then your brain just basically shuts down and you go back to being depressed again. Mm-hmm. Heaven forbid. You go back and forth between these two. I mean, this could be extremely severe to the point where you just really, you're not a rational person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So GABA is a godsend to help slow your brain down. Now, your body makes it already. It's already in all of us. You're like every single one of these things we've been talking about, these are all natural. It's not like there's any drug here. This is how your body naturally works. Your body naturally makes GABA, and it naturally calms your brain down. Now, the problem is it's not always enough of it. Now, GABA is made from a butyric acid, because it's gamma-aminobutyric acid is what it is. So the butyric acid is one of the building blocks to it. Butyric acid is interesting. The most common source of butyric acid in our diet is butter. So,
that makes sense.
Butter, which has got such a bad reputation for so many years, turned out to be really good for our brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
It helps our brain put the brakes on. So we're much less likely to feel overwhelmed. You think about it for a second. Our brain is mostly fat, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly saturated fat is what it is. And so butter turns out to be really helpful. Now, if you really get down to what is the most common source of butyric acid in our bodies. Now, in diet, it comes from butter mostly. But in our bodies, it's generated from our beneficial bacteria. What they'll do is they'll take soluble fiber, cellulose, they'll ferment it, and they'll release short-chain fatty acids. Butyric acid is one of those short-chain fatty acids. So it turns out in order to have your brain work well and be able to put the brakes on and have everything dial in, you got to have healthy bacteria in your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know this. We keep seeing it in the research that people who have bad bacteria are crazy and their moods are all whacked and they're depressed and they don't sleep well and they're prone to all kinds of horrid things, and particularly horrid mood things. And not just people. I mean, animals the same way. If their butyric acid production is skewed in some way, they end up acting weird. They were doing research up at UAF here about those little mice. Remember we talked about them? Mm-hmm. The anxious mice? Mm-hmm. The ones that made their nests too big?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were screwing up their butyric acid. So anyways, if you can get the butyric acid levels to be adequate, then your production of GABA is adequate and your mood is stable. Isn't that lovely? Funny. Now, in the meantime, if your mood is going too much and it's just too, you can't calm down, you're ramped up every night, what you could do is you could actually take GABA. Again, it's an amino acid-like thing, and you can pick it up at the grocery store. It's not a prescriptive item at all. It's safe. In fact, if you read about it and you get online, Dr. Google will say it won't work because it won't cross the blood-brain barrier. There's these cells mm-hmm. that line the blood vessels to keep the brain especially safe so random crap can't leak in and affect the brain. Well, the brain needs to regulate GABA levels because the GABA levels get too high, then the brain can't work. So GABA is one of those things that's regulated so it won't cross the blood-brain barrier, except for it does. You know why I know? Because I've taken it and I felt the effect.
Okay.
Now that I've given it to zillions of patients, and you give them GABA and they chill. We can knock people out of mania. I mean, like certifiable mania, by giving them enough GABA. It'll just shut it right down. And they just go low and slow is what they do. And they have to be careful. You take too much, it makes you dope. Your brain doesn't work right and you just get real slow and just kind of duh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really looking for that, but it's that powerful that it'll do it.
Interesting.
Is interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting.
How's that even possible? Because it's not supposed to cross the blood-brain barrier. And yet we get this effect. It works. It really will. It will calm your brain down. So I'm always sometimes a little nervous about telling people these things on the radio.
Sure.
It's like telling people how you can kill your neighbor using aspirin, right? Do I really want to tell people how to do that, right? This is GABA thing is one of those things, too. It's useful. You can get it over the counter. You take too much, and you're dopey now.
Mm-hmm. Got to be careful.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, there's not much that much risk. You just kind of, you know, you're not going to be good for taking tests on that day.
Right.
Like that.
It's slower.
But you'll recover. Your body knows how to kind of suck that stuff up and put it back into storage and use it again when it needs to. So GABA is a useful thing to help with your mood. Okay, we got about 3 minutes. Let's do the last one. We've already done this one a bit, but this one's also important. That is adrenal function. Adrenal function has a profound effect on our mood. We talked about those catecholamines. Those are made in your adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
Also, stress chemicals generally, one powerful one is cortisol. It's made in your adrenals as well. And it helps your body mount a response to challenges. We get these challenges so much, and they overwork our adrenal glands, and it screws our mood up.
Mm-hmm.
We go overwhelm.
Yep.
This kind of last little bit here is the theme on this one is overwhelm. There's too much. And guys, we see this so much in our clinic. So many of our patients come in with this pattern of
every
overwhelm.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things, eat right and exercise and sleep. Yeah. yeah. Same. But there's things that work particularly well with this one. One of them's an herb that I want to mention because it can be one of those linchpin helping with depression herbs, and that's licorice root. Glyceriza,
which is in so many of the tinctures.
We use it more than anything else because we live in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And people are helped so much by this one. It helps balance their mood. It helps balance their energy. It helps them with their adrenal function. It's a good, not the best, but a good antiviral.
Mm-hmm.
The benefits go on in all different kinds of ways. We have to be careful we don't use too much of it. It can actually raise people's blood pressure, so there's a downside to it. But the doses we're using are enough to stimulate the effect that we're looking for without having any kind of blood pressure problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that whole blood pressure thing is overwhelming. How many times have you ever seen anybody come in and say, hey, I've been taking too much glycerides and my blood pressure went up?
I haven't.
Never,
no.
Right? Yeah, it literally just never happens in our world because we're careful about it. But if we gave them bottles of that stuff to chug, their blood pressures all go up.
Interesting.
Yeah, you think about it because your adrenal glands regulate your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're stimulating your adrenal glands too much with this herb,
mm-hmm.
and you start getting side effects from it.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
You could predict it. You,
cool.
You'd think it would happen, right?
Yeah.
Based on what the effect is.
Mm-hmm.
It turns into a drug.
Right.
So anyways, I could tell we're out of time, right?
We are. We're at the last bit. Again, super informational. Thank you so much for, you know, everything you shared. This is very useful. Thank you to Fairbanks for being on the show with us today. Dr. Looper, how can patients schedule with you?
They just need to call us at the clinic, Weisbruce Medical, 452-3600, and talk to you.
Yes. Haley. I would love to schedule you. We love meeting new people. We love hearing new stories, seeing new patients. Okay, Fairbanks, stay tuned to KFAR for Craig Compo's Outdoor Show next. This has been Health Talk, and I am your host, Haley Fields, Clinic Director of Weisbruce Medical, located in the Key Bank Building in beautiful downtown Fairbanks. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hopefully you'll be with us again next week. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Weisbruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.